welcome everyone to episode 473 of the Affordable Care Podcast. I am Edward Green, unfortunately not joined this week by McCall and Crime West Bradshaw live. We will be hearing from him shortly with another grousing? No, not grousing. There's no grousing. Very little grousing coming up in Anfield Corner this week. More of a rousing rendition of Anfield Corner. That's what we're going with. I cannot wait to get Wes Bradshaw's takes out on the transfer market, as well as college football. I will make my picks next week because it's more fun to do when he's here. It's not fun when I can't get a live reaction. So we're gonna wait. He's gonna make his picks. I'm gonna wait and do my picks next week when we're back on live. But yeah, with the hurricane coming through and work schedules getting weird, we weren't able to come together this week and do a pod, but we will be back next week. And we will have still plenty to talk about next week as well. But first, this week, a quick run through of the matches that were. On Friday, last Friday, Chelsea beat Luton 3-0. Tottenham continued their good start under Ange Postecoglou 2-0. Arsenal blew a 2-1 lead against Fulham in the dying moments, as Fulham was able to secure a point at the Emirates. Brentford and Palace drew 1-1, big point for Palace on the road. Everton, oh, such a bad start to their season. A 1-0 loss to fellow relegation candidate Wolves. As a Wolves, you know, especially after being hard done at United, feel like Wolves coming out starting pretty good this year. Speaking of United, they get a comeback 3-2 victory over Nottingham Forest. West Ham rolled Brighton and Hove 3-1, putting an end to their hot start to the season. And then on Sunday, Aston Villa beat Burnley 3-1. City took care of Sheffield United 2-1. And Liverpool with also a comeback victory on the road at Newcastle. 2-1. Wes will be breaking down that one later on in Anfield Corner. Don't you worry about that. You'll get the full rundown there. As we look at the table right now, currently, thanks to some more matches getting played, today I'm recording this on Friday. West Ham beats Luton 2-1. Luton only scoring in the dying moments elsewhere. Otherwise, West Ham just fully in control of that match. That does propel West Ham to the top of the table to start the season. They are on 10 points. They are also one of only two teams to play three matches. So, you know, make it that way you will. But they are up 10 points. They will next have Manchester City. Manchester City currently sitting in second place with 9 points, perfect 3-for-3. Then it's Spurs and Liverpool, along with Arsenal, at 7 points in those European positions. Brighton and Hove, Aston Villa, and United close behind at 6 points. At the bottom of your heart, the relegation zone, it is Sheffield United, Burnley, Everton, and Luton all still on 0 points. Burnley, of course, did have that match against Luton in week two rescheduled. So they are the only team right now in the Premier League that has played only two matches. So they will have a chance to get on to winning ways. Hopefully not, though, as they do play Spurs next. Speaking of next on the schedule, again, Friday's already happened. So the rest of your schedule for the week, tomorrow, Saturday, 7:30 a.m., Sheffield United versus Everton. It's not going to get easier for Everton from here. 10 a.m., you have a choice of Brentford versus Bournemouth, Burnley versus Spurs, Chelsea, Nottingham Forest, Man City versus Fulham. Then at 12:30, it is Brighton versus Newcastle. On Sunday, Palace versus Wolves, along with Liverpool Villa at 9. And 11:30, Arsenal versus Manchester United. And then we will actually be rolling right into an international break. No. I know. Came so quickly this year. So that is your Premier League wrap up. The League Cup did take place this past weekend, or this past midweek. It exists. We'll get more into the results of that later, and see what the next round brings going forward. Champions League draw, though, that's come out. And as I texted Wes, This it's basically like Group F, and then in the words of James Hetfield, nothing else matters. I'm sorry, there's not a ton to get excited about, I feel, right now in the Champions League. There are some interesting groups, but there's really only one what I would call quote unquote good group. To run it down real quick, Group A is Bayern Munich, FC Copenhagen, Galatasaray and Manchester United. Group B is Arsenal, Lens, Eindhoven, and Sevilla, which I've heard called the Europa group, which, yeah, kind of. Group C, Braga, Real Madrid, Napoli, Union, Berlin. Group D, Benfica, Inter, Real Sociedad, and Salzburg. Group E, Atletico, Celtic, Feyenoord, and Lazio. Group F, this is, again, the group of death, Milan, Dortmund, Newcastle, and PSG. Group G, FK, Srivna Zvezda, Man City, Leipzig, and Young Boys. And then in Group H, it's Barcelona, Porto, Antwerp, and Shakhtar. I think part of it, just real quick, goes back to what we sort of talked about near the end of last season. And it's like, when once City won the Champions League, you're like, is anybody really going to be able to challenge them? Like, are there really that many challengers? It's going to be hard to tell. Atletico Madrid has gotten off to a good start, so maybe this is them. Real Madrid, always a threat in the Champions League. Bayern Munich, of course, got Harry Kane, so maybe that's a play there. But just looking around, it's hard to see who's going to challenge City until, like, maybe the Final Four. So we'll see. You never know. You know, I mean, Leipzig has, you know, had a little bit of City's number in the past. But other than that, like, it's just not a whole bunch of really, really interesting groups. I mean, I think they mentioned, like, Arsenal and Lens met up in, like, the 98 European Championship. So that's kind of interesting there. But yeah, overall, not a lot of glamour ties in this draw, again, outside of Group F there. So we'll see going forward with that. The Europa League draw also took place. I guess I have to click on this article because FootMob has not updated yet. West Ham got dropped into Group A. Brighton will West Ham will be with Olympiacos, Freiburg, and Baka Topala. Group B will be Brighton with Ajax, Marseille, and Athens. And then Liverpool will be in Group E with LOSC, Union Saint-Gilloise, and Toulouse. Yes. So there you go. That's some of the Europa talk right there. Transfer news. Some news as the window is closed tonight. Guys like Luis Sinistra has left from Leeds to go to Bournemouth. Alex Iwobi got out of Everton and is heading to Fulham. I think I'd seen some other ones. Neil Maupay also got out of Everton. He's going to Brentford. Rob Holding is leaving Arsenal for Crystal Palace. Voldemort is on loan from United to go to Getafe. Spurs picked up Brennan Johnson at the deadline from Nottingham Forest. Sofyan Amrabat leaving Fiorentina to go to United. João Cancelo is going to Barcelona for Man City on loan. Let's see, that's not what I wanted to do. Let's go to page two, please. Thank you. Callum Hudson-Odoi leaving Chelsea for Forest. Sergio Reguilon leaving Tottenham for United. Jefet Tanganga also leaving Spurs for Augsburg. Clement Leggett, former Tottenham player last year, he's heading from Barcelona to Aston Villa on loan. Ansu Fati leaving Barcelona on loan to Brighton. Sure. Yeah. You know what? Sure. Definitely some interesting moves, and some which, we are going to let Wes Bradshaw talk about. It's his favorite time of the year. It's the end of the transfer period. And we're going to throw it over to Anfield Corner now, where he's going to talk about that, Liverpool, and so much more. Wes, take it away.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Anfield Corner. I'm Wes Bradshaw, and take a few minutes here and just skip around whatever's going on up in my head. Woo. Hope you're ready for this. No, folks, this week, I don't know what Ed Green's told you, because, you know, he runs this show with an iron fist. But we have had a little tropical storm roll through North Carolina this week. Between that, crazy work schedules, which I know you're like, yeah, Wes, we know you get up early, work weird times. Ed very graciously saying, hey, dude, Why don't you just drop a little Anfield Corner on the folks this week? Well, folks, I've even taken a little extra time than normal to do this. But got some good stuff. Lots of craziness happening around Europe. As I record this, the transfer window, I can't figure out like the difference, but anyway, it's in the last 24 hours of the transfer window. Let's put it that way. We're in the end game of this summer transfer window, which has been just absolutely insane. But I'll get to that in a couple moments. I just want to hit back real quick on what happened over the weekend in the Premier League. First of all, wow, kind of your highlight game of the weekend, Liverpool traveling up to Newcastle, and holy shit, the fireworks started early on this. Trent receiving an early yellow card. So Trent got it, kind of a bullshit yellow card for throwing a ball. And then Trent did something that probably deserved a yellow card. Would have been his second and a red. Did not get that yellow card. And then Virgil van Dijk. Some people were saying it was maybe not a foul, not a red card. I don't know. He got the red card for the foul on Alexander Isak. I'm not going to say he didn't foul him. He definitely fouled him. Some of the interpretation, some people had an issue with him getting the red card. Here's my thing of the day. I didn't have an issue. As bad as the Alexis McAllister red card was a week ago, the red card on Virgil van Dijk was deserved. Now we're kind of waiting to see if we're going to have some matches piled on top of it for van Dijk. Apparently, openly defecating on the official on live television. Yeah, we'll see about that. Liverpool, a team, you know, always, God, how many times under Klopp have they gotten the fair play, good citizenship award, whatever, for the lack of red cards, the lack of yellow cards? And we're three matches in, already have two red cards on the season. Woo! Get them, boys. The physical play is there for Liverpool this year. I don't think we'll keep up this pace. But with Van Dijk out now, I don't know. We'll see how many matches Van Dijk's going to end up missing. Some Liverpool have to be a little worried about. But for the match itself, the Van Dijk red card came just a couple moments after Newcastle had taken the lead. This would have been an extremely important second goal for Newcastle. So Van Dijk may be going down for the cause. But the score remained 1-0, and then late on, there are people who just want to introduce a little chaos on the world. And sometimes Jurgen Klopp does that when he brings on Darwin Nunez. And the evolution of Darwin... Yeah, I did that. Nunez, man, it took a leap as the Uruguayan striker came on, scores two late goals as 10-man Liverpool travel up to a Champions League side, mind you, in Newcastle, and they emerge victorious 2-1, and it was just a dizzying, pretty much final 15 minutes of that match. Nunez scoring both goals, as we said. Is this the next step for Darwin Nunez on his journey to, I hate to say, living up to his price tag, because, God, everybody's price tag is inflated these days, as we'll talk about the transfer window. Just a huge moment, and you hope he can take this and build off of it going forward. And if he can, man, Liverpool are dangerous. Liverpool have scored three goals when being down to 10 men over the last 2 weeks. To go into Newcastle, a Newcastle squad who fancy themselves as contenders for the Premier League this season, if you heard our preview show, I'm not so sure on them challenging for the league. I felt they'd take a little step back from the Champions League spot just due to that, which that group is out. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But for Liverpool to go up there and basically play 60-plus minutes being a man down to emerge with a win, to get a comeback victory, that's crazy, man. Liverpool, 7 points through nine, man. The 7 points out of nine available points, three matches. God, don't jump ahead that far. If you had offered me 7 points through our first three matches looking at them a month ago, bite your arm off for it. Bite your arm off. Aston Villa this weekend for the Reds, and then we go to the international break. So a big one for Liverpool to continue a really nice start to the season. Spurs continue their really nice start to the season. I know Ed's probably touched on that. Ange Ball, it is dizzy getting to watch Tottenham out there right now and defying some of the odds from the experts as they get it going early. United, whatever, they can't make them one. They suck. I just like saying that. City were not at their best. They got their victory. Arsenal looking a little shaky as we start the season. Something's not quite right in the yogurt over at Arsenal, it seems like. We'll see. I personally say you can go ahead and start engraving Manchester City on the trophy this year, but we'll see how that works out. Chelsea got a victory, calming themselves down just a little bit. Folks, the one squad that wants to be calmed down more than anything, Everton Football Club. Folks, we predicted a grease fire. I didn't know that thing was going to catch the kitchen quite this quickly. Three matches, zero goals. The Goodison faithful are turning against everything on that squad. Folks, I ain't saying now. This is an Everton squad that if they don't figure something out quick, they are going to find themselves staring relegation right in its death face by the time Christmas gets here. Not good. Not good at all at Everton Football Club right now. It says something. It might be worse than it's been the last two seasons at Everton. So someone, quick, get Rafa online one. Maybe Frank Lampard will come back, right? God, that would be wonderful with that name. Sorry, guys. All right, so as we mentioned earlier, less than 24 hours remaining in the transfer window. To this point, you know what your team had done a week ago. Folks, Liverpool just waiting on the final medical to sign, seal, and deliver Ryan Gravenberch from Bayern Munich. 21-year-old midfielder. Cut his teeth at Ajax. Was one of the best teenage players in the world just a couple of seasons ago. Making the move to Liverpool. All the stories saying it, so I'm going to say it just to tweak them. Turning down Champions League with Manchester United because he wanted to play for Jurgen Klopp in Liverpool. Man, you give us that kind of a story, you know we're going to love you. How's it going up in Chelsea, Romeo Lavia? Enjoying the stands, bud? Yeah, you know, whatever. Liverpool pulling in midfield. A trio, yes, I know they've gotten a quartet. Endo is kind of his own thing right now. But when you look at Szoboszlai, McAllister, and Gravenberch, wow. It has definitely been a midfield rebuild. And then you add, as we said, the Japan captain, Endo. It's a different midfield. You wanted it? You got it! Different midfield. And an extremely talented looking midfield going forward for Liverpool, where, once again, take out Endo from this list. You're looking at a group that is McAllister, Szoboszlai, Gravenberch, Curtis Jones, Harvey Elliott, Stefan Bajcetic. You're looking at an extremely talented, potentially really good midfield for a few years to come, and the oldest player there is McAllister. He's 24. Wow. It is a night and day different look for Liverpool in the midfield. I'm pretty happy with it. Would I have loved Jude Bellingham? Sure, but really, if you not trying to just prop this up. Gravenberch was a guy who, when he was in his teens, he and Bellingham were in the same conversation. He's got a lot of the same physical traits and skill-wise things you see from Bellingham. And Gravenberch was actually a higher-rated kind of prospect coming up. Now, the difference is Jude Bellingham went to Dortmund and absolutely took his opportunity by both horns, took the bull by both horns, and has turned himself into one of the absolute best players in the world. Gravenberch kind of went to Bayern and stalled out a little bit for him there. So this is just one of those potential moves, really, for Liverpool that, God, especially for the price they paid, could be a massive, massive payoff for the Reds, along the same lines of a McAllister, where you're paying less than £40 million and getting potentially, we'll see, a really top player going forward. Some of his comps, once again, Bellingham as a comp that a lot of the scouts say. And another one is the playing style and some of the things he can do with the ball to a Paul Pogba. I always thought Pogba was a great player. It's just Pogba let Pogba get in the way too much. If we get a Pogba-level talent that doesn't do the Pogba bullshit, boy, that would make Jurgen Klopp a happy boy. United's still active in the window right now. There's the Amrabat may come in. Of course, by the time you guys hear this, you'll know what happened. Sergio Reguilon coming over from Spurs, United with some injuries to the back line. They've got some real defensive issues at the moment. And you bring in Reguilon, and Ed Green will tell you, well, thought you needed defensive players. Reguilon is a defensive player kind of in enlisted position only, we'll put it that way. So, yeah. And this is the last move I'm going to hit for you guys before I touch on my college football picks real quick. Folks, if 2-3 years ago you had said, you just wait, by the time he's 18, 19 years old, and Ansu Fati will be in the Premier League, you would have said, well, you know, I figured he'd stick around Barca for a while, but I can see that. Where'd he end up? United? City? Chelsea? How about Brighton? Yeah. Brighton kind of going a different path than what they have in the past, where it's unearthing the rough, uncut gems and then turning around and selling them for huge profit to the European clubs. Ansu Fati, a season-long loan to Brighton. Now, folks, I haven't seen the details of the contract. I don't know if they've totally finalized it yet. I would be shocked if there's a buying clause in there for Brighton. But a chance for Ansu Fati to come somewhere where a lot of players have developed over the past few years and gone on to bigger and better things. You know, he's looking for more to his career than Brighton being his big stop. Once again, this is a guy who this was the next Messi a few seasons ago, has had issues at Barcelona. Was told he probably wasn't going to play much this season and looked for a way out, and he got it. So let's see going forward what we do with that. All right, folks, I told Ed Green last week that I wanted his college football picks this week as college football really kicks off. I don't care about week zero. Yeah, yeah, Notre Dame smoking Navy in, at the Aviva Stadium this past week. That's where the final of the Europa League is going to be held. That's right. So Notre Dame starting the season, maybe Liverpool ending the season via Viva. And by the way, just as we, as I record, just a few hours before they have the Europa draw. Oh, did I skip the Champions League draw? Okay, real quick. Everybody knows Group F, insane. I believe it's AC Milan, PSG, Dortmund, and Newcastle. Whew, good luck on that, Newcastle. I have a thought on Manchester City, which... is DC comic related, which I'll hold for Ed next week because I kind of want some feedback on that. But I had this brilliant idea at like 2:30 in the morning as I was sitting at my table getting ready to do this one more time. But anyway, okay, back to the college football. Week one is upon us. Folks, as I record this, the Florida Gators went to Utah and got absolutely shellacked. Oh, it warms my heart to watch Florida get their ass beat by a backup quarterback after talking so much shit. Swamp Kings! Nah, brother, these aren't the Swamp Kings. The Swamp Kings are long gone. These are the Swamp Paupers. This group sucks. And their coach is a joke. I enjoy the hell out of it. All right. As an avowed East Carolina fan, we open our season at Michigan. Saturday, noon, Peacock. Folks, I'm saying it right now. I don't know when Ed's going to get this pod out. But, folks, if it comes out before that game, if it comes out after that game, you've got it right here. East Carolina is walking into the Big House and upsetting the Michigan Wolverines, the number two ranked team in the country. The level of disrespect that has been thrown at East Carolina over the last 6 to 8 weeks. I'll tell you what, we're going to walk out of that place and people are going to know where the hell Greenville, North Carolina is. Damn right, here we go. That or the spread's 36 points and we'll keep it under the spread. But anyway, go Pirates. Okay, folks, here are my conference winners for this season. From the ACC... I'm going Clemson. It's boring, but it's whatever. I say Clemson out of the ACC. Out of the Big Ten, here we go. Here we go. Pennsylvania State. It's going to be some wildness up top with Ohio State, with Michigan, with Penn State. I think Penn State is going to find themselves winning the Big Ten this season, which will make it for a happy household at the Bradshaw house. The Big 12, the last season of the Big 12. Folks, it might be boring because everybody's saying it, and it also might be like, what the hell? This hasn't happened, but you jackasses are all calling it. I'm calling the Texas Longhorns to win the final version of this Big 12. I am such a mark for Quinn Ewers. It is not funny. So here's ACC, Big 12, Big 10. Who've we got left? The corpse of what is left of the Pac-12. Here you go, guys. USC is terrifying me with their defense. And I want a little bit of romance. I want a little bit of tweak. I want a little bit of a middle finger to the establishment. Oregon State. That's right. Those pesky Beavers are going to rise up. And they're basically the ones getting left out in all this realignment talk. The Beavers are winning the Big Ten, or winning the Pac-12, and maybe getting to the college football playoff. And finally, that's the Southeastern Conference. I'm a pick East and West winners. In the East, folks, do I need even say this? That'd be the Georgia damn Bulldogs. And out West, Bama LSU. All the talk of the offseason. Give me the shocker. Bring me my Robert Petrino And Jimbo Fisher led Texas A&M Aggies. There you go. Texas A&M. In the SEC championship game, I mean, them damn dogs winning the SEC title again. We know that. So, you know, no craziness there. Georgia to win the SEC. My playoff, I'm giving you guys this because I got to go do some work. My playoff college football this year, Georgia, Penn State winning the Big Ten. Penn State is in it. I've kind of forgotten what my playoff is. I will take Clemson to get in there. I think Clemson's going to kind of run through the ACC this year. And finally, folks, give me that romance. I can't do it. Texas is in. Texas, Clemson, Georgia, Penn State. There's my playoff. Your national champion, third year in a row, the Georgia damn Bulldogs. Guys, I hope you've enjoyed it. I've had some fun on this drive to work, but now I gotta go do something because it's Friday and I've got high school football tonight because I was supposed to have it last night, but the tropical storm, hurricane, whatever we're calling it, it blew it out. So I'm gonna go enjoy these early morning cool temperatures. It feels like fall for a few hours anyway. And college football's here and the Premier League is in full swing. And the window's about to slam shut. And I'm going to slam shut another episode of Anfield Corner. Ed, talk to you next week, bud. See you guys.
Thanks so much for that, Wes. I can't wait to talk to you next week either. Episode 473 is now in the books. We'll have more news and notes. I have a bunch of news and notes saved up. We'll get to next week and maybe even the week after since we'll be going into an international break. But that is going to do it for this edition of the Foreign Affair Podcast. Check us out on social medias, on Twitter. As a collective, we are at AFA Pod. He's at Wes Bradshaw 21. I am at Edward Green. You can also find the podcast on Spotify, which is powered by podcasters for Spotify or something. I don't know. Stitcher, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, the TuneIn Radio app, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. So again, we'll be back next week with another podcast. But for right now, we are done with episode 473. So until next week, he's Wes Bradshaw. I'm Edward Green. Thanks so much for joining us here this week. Till we talk to you next time, stay safe and enjoy the football.